This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Hello and welcome to Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush. I hope you all had a wonderful and productive week. And what do you do today to keep yourself busy and productive? Well, here is what I do. Besides being a mom of two boys and constantly running around after them, I have also now become a homeschool teacher. I have to say a big thank you to all the teachers who take care of 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 8-year-old kids and do this hard job and let us work. So thank you so much for doing that. Besides homeschooling, I have been also experimenting a lot with cooking new dishes, things that I have never cooked before. And to my surprise, both the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old, they both enjoy it a lot. So that is a very exciting and something new that I've been doing. Another project that I just started is called Virtual Wine Tour Series. Today, we basically all live in the virtual world, and it's really super easy and, I must say, inexpensive to travel. This is the best time to travel. So every Wednesday or Thursday, I video conference to Armenia, where we get to meet the owner or the winemaker of the winery and tour the facility. It's a perfect opportunity for all the wine lovers and for those who have tried those wines before to meet people behind and to get a glimpse of the facility. So if you are interested, I would love you to check it out. You can find all my videos on the Facebook, my Facebook page, and my Facebook page is my name, so it's Anoush Garibyan O'Connor. I'm sure it's going to be really easy to find because there are not too many of those names. The videos are also available on our Facebook page for the SoCal Armenian. Another fun thing that I've been doing is virtual wine tasting. A virtual wine tasting is another super cool way to meet new people and to learn. And, you know, guys, I'm all about learning, which brings me to our glossary word. For today, for our glossary, we have the word sommelier. At some point in your restaurant outings, I'm sure you have heard the word, like the waiter would say, let me get the sommelier for you and they can recommend a wine. A sommelier or a wine steward is a trained and knowledgeable wine professional, normally working in fine restaurants, but not necessarily, who specializes in all aspects of wine services as well as food and wine pairing. In another word, sommelier should be your friend in the restaurant, the person to give you best recommendations, and you should feel absolutely comfortable telling them your price point. You also should be feeling comfortable telling them, you know, what are your likes and dislikes, and based on all that information, they are accumulating, and they should give you the best recommendation from their wine list that will enjoy absolutely well with what food you have ordered. What does it take to become a sommelier? I had a big sigh because I have taken my certification exam and it just reminded me of the time. So being a sommelier is you have to know all about wine. You have to work in a wine industry. Not always, but very useful to have a certificate. And getting a certificate is not an easy walk in the park. The exam consists of three parts. First is theory. Second is blind tasting, and I'll talk about that. And the third is service. In the first part of the exam, in the theory, you have to answer questions about all the wine regions in the world. And you have to know the regions within regions and then villages within those regions. You should also know what country grows what kind of grapes and makes what kind of wine. You should also know all about winemaking, different oak barrels, different diseases. You name it. You have to know everything. You need to know about their climate, about their soil, about their topography. For the blind tasting, for the second part of the exam, you are given four wines and you don't know what they are. You have to taste them within a certain period of time. You have to identify the types of grapes that are in that wine, the country that the wine has been made in, and the year that it's been made. And finally, there is the service that you navigate through 1 million questions while you are trying not to shake, not to break all the glasses and spill it all over your guests. So that's the excitement of getting a certification. So I hope you have your glass of wine and are ready to take the journey with me. Today, I have a very special guest whose eatery has become a staple in Glendale. Today, we will hear the story how the mini kebab was established and what it took for the family to become successful in what they do. Welcome to the show, Armen. How are you today?
Hey, Anush. I'm doing well today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, too. I'm very excited about our conversation today because this place is so special in so many people's hearts, and it's associated with Glendale. I think when you think of Glendale, you think of your place. So why don't you tell about the place, what I'm talking about, and then your heritage, how did you establish the business?
So Mini Kebab is actually established by a Persian Armenian guy 35 years ago. He used to own a mechanic shop in the back. He's like, you know what, I'm going to do some mini kebabs because, you know, logme kebabs were really, it's a big thing in Iran. And a lot of Persian Armenians loved it. But he started it. He just couldn't maintain it at one point. And the business ran through owners, about seven owners, until my dad purchased it. And when my dad purchased it, he brought his own recipes. And my dad, he's been there for 24 years. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. So the mini kebab was already established. So before we go into how the business switched, I would love to hear the story of how did you guys arrive to U.S. And then when we hear that story, then we'll go back to how your dad purchased the business.
Got it. So just how my parents came to America?
Yeah.
Okay. My dad was actually a part of the Russian army at one point, you know, since Armenia was a part of Soviet Russia. My dad had a lot of influence with Russia. And so he was their chef. He was the cook of the Russian army. And so my dad's been cooking for 50 years. Really, really good hand in Armenian food and just food in general. That's where he established his basis of, you know, cooking and just the ultimate fine dining. He was serving at one point just to kind of get the overall feel of the restaurant industry. And mm-hmm. my mother, she grew up in like Ashtarak, in the village of Armenia. But, you know, they used to bake their own bread, the lavash, and then they used to make everything from scratch, which was, you know, my mom brought in the whole mom factor of the cooking. And so about 33 years ago, my mom and dad came to America, and they traveled through Italy first because my grandfather wanted to, he just honestly was having problems with the Armenian, Armenian politics and government, and he was tired of it. And so he basically told my dad, he's like, I want to go to America now. And so they mm-hmm. did. And once they came to America, obviously, you know, you have to find the tongue, you have to find the native tongue, you have to try to establish yourself because coming into a whole new territory. And so amidst all that, my dad actually started cooking again for other people, and he started selling clothes on the side, while my mom would actually stay at home and bake Armenian pastries and obviously try to make ends meet. And through there, you know, multiple different restaurants. At one point, people wanted to open up restaurants with my dad, but he's like, you know, I don't want to work with anybody in terms of partnership, just because, you know, he just didn't like the whole aspect and the feel of it. He'd rather do it himself, so he has a full control of the recipes, the menu, the, you know, the margins, et cetera. And so he came to Mini Kebab and used to work for couple owners until he himself, he's like, you know what, I'm going to purchase Mini Kebab because, you know, nobody sits down and they're like, you know, I'm ambitious, but I want to sit there and just have something really small as opposed to have something really big. But, you know, my dad, he's like, you know what, Mini Kebab special. And so he purchased it. And 24, almost 25 years ago, my dad purchased it. And so he's still there, but, you know, he's grown tremendously. He's grown tremendously with the network. He's grown tremendously with, you know, it's so multicultural now that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, so you guys, they moved into Glendale. Did they live in Glendale?
So they moved into Hollywood, but they hated Hollywood. So yeah, they moved to Glendale.
They moved to Glendale. And so the mini kebab was there for years, and your dad started working there, and then he purchased it. So once he purchased it, you said that, you know, he brought his own recipes. What about... did he change the menu? Did he completely revamp it and then added his things, or it just went on, you know, whatever the customers liked?
So ultimately, you know, coming to America, you're trying to establish yourself, you want to do what you do well, which is, you know, like for my dad specifically, was cooking. And so with cooking, he wanted to bring recipes from Armenia and from Russia. And so he did a lot of, you know, I remember when I was younger, I was eating a lot of chicken Kiev, you know, and that was one of my favorite things to eat ultimately, like the, you know, the pounded out chicken breast with the dill and the butter in the middle, spread it in and fried off. It's one of my favorite dishes to eat still. But my dad put stuff like chicken Kiev on the menu, and, you know, he had his own chicken shish kebabs, the breast kebabs, but different spices, different recipes, spices we would get imported, and different techniques that he picked up through, like, Lebanon and through even Armenian techniques. And so it's just, you know, kind of honing in on both the diaspora and also the influence through his travels through where he's been and just the people he's worked with and worked for. And he tried to adapt it because, you know, most of our customers were Armenian initially. Glendale was...
Who are your customers? Yeah. Who were your customers and who are your customers now?
Yeah. And so 24 years ago, it was all Armenian. I was actually about to say that in Armenian. All Armenian. And we had no single person come in here that was not Armenian. And so... I was young. I didn't know anything. And, you know, my dad, they were doing good. They were sustaining it until, like, 2007, 2008, like, recession hit. And so after recession, we actually almost lost Mini Kebab. 2008, it was just bad. Because, you know, it's like reading those books. They say, you know, don't try to just have one source of income. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So in case things fail, you know, they fail. And so Mini Kebab at one point, 2008, we just made no money. All of our Armenian customers just, you know, disappeared. And I was in culinary school at the time. And I was trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, and so on and so forth. And what I did at the end was just I started Yelping. And that was because of my my culinary teacher. He ended up telling us about Yelp. And so I remember
Googling.
Was Yelp
just starting at that time in 2008? No, it was already a few years, but it wasn't becoming as popular.
Exactly. And so it wasn't established in itself yet. So what I did was I was like, okay, I'm going to look into this. And so I did. I didn't want to be inappropriate about my approach just because I feel like I was just more intuitive about how I need to do things. And so what I did was I did spam people because, you know, it's kind of like you have to do it or you're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your livelihood. You're not going to be able to do, you know, eat food or and just everything. You have to consider everything, consider aspects. So I spammed about 200 people a day saying, hey, if you enjoy good Armenian/Middle Eastern food, I think you would enjoy this. And so with that, you know, people started responding, and this is not to Armenian people, but different. I had Koreans, I had Filipino, Chinese, Latin American, African American, everybody. And so slowly we kind of started coming back, and then eventually Korean Times, Chinese Times, they wrote about us. And then it was cool because we got all that press, and then I needed to you know, establish my career in the culinary industry. And so I started working for a Japanese restaurant. I did ramen for 3 years, and then I started managing the ramen restaurant, and I opened up one with them. And
how did you decide to go into the culinary school? I mean, I know growing up with a family who cooks, it's kind of natural to do that, but at the same time, you know, sometimes the kids just go in a totally opposite direction. So seeing your mom and dad cooking, did that motivate you to do that, or how did you decide?
So it was love hate initially. 18 years old, I'm in culinary school. It was something that I kind of wanted to do because I remember going to college right after I went to school for business. I was like, I don't want to do this. And so I left, and then I jumped into culinary school. I did it. I still didn't really have like a full grasp on it because I didn't find my care or like passion for it. And then I went back to school after for nutritional science. I started studying nutritional science. Took all my classes. So at that point, I made the decision of, okay, I was about to transfer out. And I made the decision. I'm like, I can transfer out and, become a registered dietitian and pursue, I guess, the more holistic approach of nutrition and food, or I could just immerse myself in food and itself at this point and just be completely passionate about it. And I, not necessarily just holistic, but everything and that it encompasses. And so I remember I was like, I'm going to drop out of college completely. I'm not going to even look back anymore at this point. And that's when I was at the ramen restaurant right after. So I was like, I need to take this a bit more seriously. That's when I applied myself to Japanese food because I want to change and I need to change in my life. And I committed mm-hmm. myself for 3 years. I learned how to make traditional Japanese tonkotsu broth. I learned how to make, noodles from scratch. I just learned everything. I even learned, the way Japanese hierarchy works, Japanese traditionality, and just very relevant to Armenian culture.
How was it different, and how did it maybe in a way open your eyes into another culture, being immersed? Because I would assume that even though, yes, a lot of non-Japanese people would come eat ramen, but just working in the kitchen and seeing also the Japanese customers, how they interact and et cetera, what was that experience? Any memorable story?
Of course. I used to, my boss, he was super, super Japanese. Like, everything was translated through Google. But I think one thing that I had that a lot of people kind of, I don't want to say I have or had, I don't want to sound narcissistic, but whatever I do in my life, I want to go at it 100%. And mm-hmm. With nutritional science, I was like, okay, I need to either be at it or not. It's either I'm in it or I'm not in it. And so with ramen, I was like, okay, I had the basic, I believe that the IQ of cooking and basic comprehension and, simplifying things and just kind of just, you have to make things work, work smarter and just not overbear things. And so I think they took light on that and realized how important and the type of asset that it could be. And with traditionality, honestly, with Japanese people, ultimately what they really want is discipline. And especially when somebody's teaching you something, and ultimately what you want to do is just listen and kind of do back. And and if you do it right, mm-hmm. you do it better every time. If you mess up, it's okay, but you do it better. And obviously there's there's different mentality in terms of psychology and how people approach it in terms of conversation. They can throw things because that's the way of, it's just the Japanese guys would throw things. And I believe that was mm-hmm. a passive aggressive mentality to have with working, especially in the kitchen and not being able to confront a conversation or communication directly. It's just my person. I don't know if I'm standing too far, but this is just something I picked up on.
Well, this is your experience. Yes.
Yeah, and I just, I was like, okay, interesting. And so I worked my way up, from line cook to manager, and we opened up one location, and I was like, okay. But I got tired at one point, not tired of doing food. I like making the food. I like, concocting things. I like growth. But I got tired of making somebody else money. I got tired of, not having my own opinions to voice and kind of pursue. Mm-hmm. And at that point, yeah. I was committed 3 years. I was educating myself through social media. I was educating myself through just knowledge, through reading articles, reading books, et cetera. 3-4 years in, and I'm just like, okay, I'm out. I remember one day, just letter of recognition, or a letter of resignation, and I just left.
It is, I think it's very important to understand, when you are ready to move on to your next project, because if mm-hmm. you just stay for the sake of staying, that affects your growth and it also affects the business. So when you look at it that way, it's like, it was great that you have matured, you have learned, and you have given all your best to them, and then you are ready to move on. I think that's a very good quality to have and to understand and recognize that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And
so I know that you have started another project, but I would like to talk about that project when we come back after the break. And then also to talk more about the mini kebab and, you know, the current situation, what's going on today and how you are dealing with it. So let's get back and then talk about the rest of our topics.
Awesome.